But here's what he did.
Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it.
Then he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it? We will be rocking in LA, so let's ram it today. Just ram it.
Yes.
We are going to ram it. Just ram
it. That's where he just
rammed it. Everybody ram it. We'll be rocking in LA. Say hello to the Rams today and ram it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
Ram it.
Wow.
Ram it.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Rams Brothers, the pod. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined by the other host of this show, Nick, and we have a surprise co-host on this episode, our dad, Rich. How are you guys tonight?
If it was any better, I'd be in heaven.
Nick, how about you?
I'm great. I'm doing good. This is quite fun already.
Yeah, it's fantastic to get you both on the pod. It's been long overdue. We haven't had any guests this season so far. So we figured it would be best to reintroduce.
Get Rich, the one guest that can never say no.
Yeah, he can never say no, right? We were there earlier for dinner. I forced him while he was doing the dishes, and here we are today. Now he's rocking Tom and Jerry in the background. He's got the hoodie on. He's ready to go. I love to see it.
That's pretty dope Rams Brothers hoodie.
Yeah, it is.
They only sell this at the stadium.
Yeah, that is not an authentic Rams Brothers hoodie.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh, that's the one I got you.
Yeah.
That's the sweater I got you. Yeah.
All right. Before we jump into all the craziness, we're going to
never paid me for it.
We're going to preview. Talk about that later. We'll preview the Texans and the Rams, obviously. We're going to jump into our sponsor, our new sponsor, Golden Road Brewery. We are working with a new partner and sponsor moving forward, Golden Road Brewery at Golden Road Brew on social. We're going to mention this again. The event LAFB is putting on the 7th of November is a party bus round trip from Golden Road Brewery to SoFi Stadium to watch the Rams and the Titans game. So LAFB is currently doing a promotion on Twitter where if you like, retweet their tweet, tag a friend and subscribe to LAFB on YouTube, then you and a friend can get the tickets for free. So it's roughly like a $65 value, and you'll get to hang out with the whole crew for the whole day.
I'll be there.
Nick will be there broadcasting live from Golden Road Brewery. You get to see him all tuned up on stage. Hopefully he keeps it in check. I know he will. So that's our first sponsor. Nick, why don't you transition over to our new betting partner?
I think it's only fitting that I talk about this one. New sponsor, MyBookie. It's the NBA lock of the season. What is a lock? A lock, simply put, is a bet you can't lose. And with MyBookie, you can't lose with the NBA lock of the season. When you bet on either team to score between the Dallas Mavericks or the Denver Nuggets this Friday, you win. An NBA game has never gone scoreless, so you know this is a surefire bet. Place your bet. They score, you win. It's that easy. My bet's already in. Get paid Friday, wake up Saturday, and throw down on UFC 267. This weekend, MyBookie is also giving all users a $100 risk-free bet on the lightweight championship between Błachowicz and Teixeira. Don't wait. Head to mybookie.ag now and use the promo code LAFB and get in the NBA lock of the season. Promo code one more time is LAFB. It's a lock. Nick's picks are coming. They're also all locks. Get your season started with a win. Thank me later. Bet anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Yeah, I got to sign up for that. Whenever you get a free promotion, $100 risk-free wager, it's time to throw some cash on a game. Transitioning over to the Texans, let's talk about Deshaun Watson here for a second. I have you guys off to the side so I can try to concentrate on the script because I know if I look over, you guys will distract me. Deshaun Watson, a distraction in his own. Apparently, there has been recent trade talks with the Texans and the Dolphins as they've been heating up quickly. There were also trade talks as of recent that the Panthers were recently inquiring about Deshaun Watson after they benched Sam Darnold last weekend against the Giants. They're probably out, apparently, unless it lingers into the offseason. Josina Anderson reported yesterday that Miami is offering what they're offering is still not meeting the threshold to get the deal done. It's a very strange situation right now. Goodell yesterday reinstated that Watson isn't going to be on the commissioner's exempt list based on the NFL's current information that they have, even if he is traded. So as the league investigation continues, Watson can play. When you guys want to jump in here, give me your take on the Deshaun Watson situation right now. Obviously, we don't have to get too into it, but your initial takes.
Yeah, Dad, I just want to let you know straight up, it's going to be hard to squeak any words in here with Dean. It's a constant battle. I think the Dolphins are the best fit for him, 100%. So I can't look at you both and just have a. I mean, I actually like what the Panthers are doing with Darnold. I mean, two bad games, but you get Christian McCaffrey back, and I think that team is like a 9-10 win team easy.
Here's my deal with Watson. I mean, obviously he's a great talent. Love to see him play. Certainly want to keep him in the AFC. When I'm in the NFC, would like to see. I saw something earlier this week from some other show. I shall be nameless, but they were saying the big winners of the Rams-Safford trade was the 49ers, who can now sit back and pick up Watson, which is the most preposterous thing I think I've ever heard. That would be a franchise-killing move. That would just set them back for the next 5 to 10 years. Completely ridiculous. But, you know, at some point he's going to go back into the NFL and he's going to play. Great talent. I think the Dolphins are a perfect fit. Its time has run out in Texas. So we'll see where he goes and how he makes out. But I don't think we're going to see him in the playoffs for the next 2 or 3 years, no matter where he lands.
It's a weird situation.
Steelers, I think, are also a dark horse to land him, is what I've been reading and hearing from my inside sources. But, I mean, I think when there's smoke, there's fire. And if it seems like all the reports are the Dolphins. So that's probably where he'll end up going.
It's the only place he wants to go. I mean, he can say where he wants to be. He wants to be in a state that has no sales tax. Let's be honest. Miami's perfect for him. It's a great state. I think he'd do wonders for that franchise. It should have happened already. I don't know what's holding it up. It's been really annoying to have this thing lingering. Good news is we don't have to face him this week. I don't even know who the hell we're facing.
Texans.
Some fourth string quarterback. So.
Yeah.
Davis Mills.
Yeah. I also think it's smart for the Dolphins to acquire him because we don't know what's going to happen to him. He's probably going to be suspended for the rest of the season. So it would make sense for the Dolphins to get him now. Honestly, maybe even tank until the season's over. And then focus on getting rid of Tua and whatever else they have to do. And then starting fresh next season with Flores, who I think is a really good head coach.
I actually think the deal that we should all be mindful of is, you know, Wilson didn't want to be there last year. He's not going to want to be there this offseason. I think if a team is opportunistic and they think they can pull the trade, now is when they should jump in. And, you know, I think of a team here in our backyard that has 3 number one draft picks. That could certainly use a quarterback because I think Jalen Mills is
Hurts. Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts. He's not the answer. He's a nice player. He's a backup. But if you really want to take your team to the next level in a pretty weak division, that would make some sense. But, you know, long story short, Russell Wilson, if you're interested, you should be making some phone calls now because I think they're this close to blowing the whole thing up. And that includes maybe getting rid of Pete Carroll at the end of this year. And as Rams fans, we would like nothing better to see Russell Wilson in the division.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. I would hope that it does. I think the dark horse, though, to your point, Dad, is the Philadelphia Eagles, right? With those 3 first-round picks, depending on what that happens with Carson Wentz, if he plays more than 75% of the snaps. That's going to be such an interesting development, though, if he does make it into this offseason, which I feel like he's going to at this point, right? Where Nick said there's smoke, there's fire. But at the same time, is anything going to get done at this very moment? Because Miami just made this incredible offer with this massive package, and it was still turned down by the Texans. So nothing's going to get done right now for what we're seeing. But, you know, we could always speculate. Let's talk about the other quarterback on this team that was hurt. He's been bouncing around the league for what seems like 8 or 9 years, Tyrod Taylor. He started off the season with a win against Jacksonville. Then he's the most unfortunate quarterback in the NFL right now. Severely hurt his hamstring. He's been out since. The rebuild is fully in place with this team. We mentioned we're going to see Davis Mills in this game. I don't know. What is there to expect about the Houston Texans position from the quarterback, right? What are you going to get from Davis Mills in this game?
Well, I'm not worried about David Mills per se, but I did think it was interesting that Brandon Cooks tweeted after they traded Mark Ingram how frustrated he was. I think there's certain dissension happening within the Texans now. Their season's sort of over. And I like to face a team that sort of feels like they're out. I mean, we got Detroit last week. that was full of piss and vinegar came out, thought they had this master plan. They had the three fakes. And, you know, we still beat them by nine, but they made it a little tenuous. So I don't want any fight in any team. I don't want any, like, hidden agenda. You know, if there's something in the background that can motivate them, you know, I'd rather not have that, especially if we're traveling.
No. I'm going to be honest with both of you. I usually miss about, like, one game a year just based on, like, you know, life and whatnot. And this will, like, I kind of made my schedule in a way. I'm going to be in Texas, but it's probably going to be the game that I'm not going to really pay attention to. It's a game where I hope I look at my phone. I'm like, oh, great, 42-7. Like, we're good. You know what I mean? Like, it. To your point, they feel like they've already rolled over and died.
Well, when Brandon Cooks is your best offensive player, statistically, he's leading in snaps. He's your best offensive player. He had, in this previous week, Brandon Cooks, 5 catches for 21 yards, an average of 4.2 yards per reception. That's criminal for him. You can't have Brandon Yards catching the ball on average for 4 yards per catch. It doesn't make any sense. So he's going to be somebody that they move. There's hostility in the locker room. He's a big locker room guy. He's a big voice there. So what do you get out of this offense? Their three-headed monster, their rushing attack, David Johnson, Mark Ingram, and Philip Lindsay accounted for 42 yards on 15 carries last week against Arizona, a team that you could run on, right? Dad, you're watching. Nick, you're watching right now. Green Bay run all over Arizona.
Hopkins will not return tonight with a hamstring injury.
Yeah, that's dicey. They played against an Arizona team. They weren't able to establish any form of a run. Those are three running backs that were good 3-4 years ago that they still stash on their roster, right? It's strange the way that they're distributing carries, the way they're distributing the football. Nico Collins was their leading receiver last week, rookie. So there's really not much to offer from this Houston Texans team. Nick, if you want to sit back, keep your feet up, check in on the score, I think this would be the game to do it. There are still some drama, right, with special teams you can kind of keep an eye on. You want to see a fast start from the offense. You know, all things that you missed in the Lions game that you can still kind of keep an eye on in this one. So I don't know. You couldn't get a fast start early on in the Lions game, but this seems like an opportunity against a defense that hasn't done much in previous weeks. They don't have any strong personnel. Their defensive line outside of their edge rushers have struggled. Right. So what is there to expect with the Rams offense in this game? Do you think we're going to see more of the same 11 personnel, or do you think we'll see DeSean Jackson and Tutu Atwell a little bit more so in the mix?
I mean, I think they're going to want to try to get off to a fast start. McVay's been preaching it for 3 or 4 games now, and they've been sluggish. So that should be the motivation going into this game. And I don't care if they establish the run first and then, you know, play off of that and go start taking some deep shots, or they just open it up and just start throwing the ball all over the field to score. And, you know, one way or the other, I just want to see them score, I don't know, I'm going to say 28 points in the first half and then try to make it easy. You know, I think they call it in the NBA load management. I like to see them get to a place where they were with the Giants, where they sort of force some load management and put some starters on the bench for the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that would be a huge win. No injuries certainly is always a huge win. And then next week it starts getting fun, right? You got the Texans the Titans, and then you have the Niners who were a
Packers.
Little, yeah, well, the effort by, but I mean, you want to try to get through this game sort of injury free, make it easy, and really start the game plan quickly for the next couple of games.
Yeah. You know what? This is the team to do it against. There are players on this offensive line where, you know, somebody like Aaron Donald, if he has a couple sacks in the first half, if Davis Mills hold on to the ball for too long, you could have him on the bench. Sebastian Joseph Day, who's been extremely productive, A'shaun Robinson, Leonard Floyd, these are all guys that you could potentially sit down on the defense. Guys like Jalen Ramsey, if they're getting their own in the first half, this to me feels less of a trap game than the game did against the Lions, right? Because you mentioned Dad, salt and piss and vinegar. Right, with that Lions team, they had more to offer even in the first quarter of that game. This team is completely depleted. I mean, you look at their offensive line, there's not a player that's graded over 63 in terms of PFF. Their left tackle, Jaron Christian Sr., good pass blocker. The right tackle is a good pass blocker as well, Max Sharping. But it's a game where the defensive line, Davis Mills, has sat in the pocket. He's held onto the football. And again, you can get coverage sacks, because you're not going to have that many personnel open deep. Brandon Cooks is going to have to carry the load. You got another guy that's familiar in Danny Amendola, the fellow Paisan. You know, what do you have to say about him? This is in his 14th year. The guy's probably just playing out of the love of his heart at this point. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, what are you going to get out of this offense? I want to talk about Danny Amendola for a second, though.
Former St. Louis Ram.
I wanted to have a breakout segment on Danny Amendola real quick. He was the original great white hope in my eyes. Not Brian Leonard. It was Danny Amendola. It wasn't Cooper Kupp. It was Danny Amendola. He started his career undrafted free agent for the Cowboys, was on Hard Knocks, was with the Eagles the next year, got cut, signed with the Rams. Pat Shurmur actually was the one who brought him over. That, I don't know, you have any initial thoughts on the Pat Shurmur move? I know he was the offensive coordinator for the Rams for, what, about a year?
Yeah, he was the worst offensive coordinator, I think, in the history of the Rams, honestly. And he was actually at one point, I think, offensive coordinator for the Eagles. And I saw him at our local supermarket, and I said to him, I said, "You were the worst offensive coordinator the Rams have ever had." And he looked at me like, "Who the hell are you?"
No way. Is that a real story?
True story. True story.
What'd he say? Did he punch you in the face?
No, just looked at me like, "Who the hell? Like, who's this guy?" And I said, "I'm just a longtime fan. You're able to move the ball. You know, you had a good young quarterback. It was Bradford's first couple of years. And he's just, I don't know. There's no imagination, no creativity, very conservative." And I couldn't believe the guy kept getting jobs after that. I mean, some of these decision makers in the NFL are quite possibly the dumbest people on the planet when it comes to hiring people.
Yep.
I mean, we see it happen all the time. He was a perfect example. I mean, I can think of like five or six other examples every week that I just sit here and shake my head. Like, what are these guys doing? Do they not understand this game? They don't understand percentages. They don't understand. I don't know. Hey, you know, I coach midget football. I didn't coach higher levels, but there's just some common sense.
You won the Super Bowl though.
Yes, two. I do.
Right?
In 2-1-1. But
he coached Dean. He never coached me.
Yeah, that's true. Nicky was always the last one when there was like a gang tackle to run over and touch the guy on the back and say, "Hey, I made a tackle."
I wasn't a very aggressive defensive player in Nick's defense as well. I was one of those guys too. I was the quarterback. You couldn't touch me either.
Yeah, your skill set was best suited for quarterback.
Yeah, my skill set was best suited for giving the ball off to our best player, let's be honest.
But you could throw the ball, so we put you back there.
Yeah, I had the arm.
But, you have to optimize your personnel. Right. There's some coaches that never seem to do it, and they keep getting jobs. Perfect example was Jeff Fisher. He hasn't gotten a job since, though. I think everyone figured it out. But and it all starts at that highest level and then cascades down. And I'm going to go off on a tangent here because this reminds me of a story this summer that we had, or right when Stafford was traded for Goff. And Nicky was very passionate about Jared Goff being the quarterback. And I kept saying to him, "Do you realize the coach that we have now has won every year he's been here and taken us to playoff three out of 4 years?" It's the coach and the vision of the organization to kind of build it the right way. And he knew that he didn't have a quarterback that was good enough to take him to the next level. And I entrust McVay and Snead to figure that stuff out more so than what I see on TV. And I think we can all be pretty honest here watching that game last week. If Jared Goff was the quarterback, they could have lost. I mean, that offense wasn't clicking. The running game wasn't clicking, but Matt Stafford sort of put them on their back. He and Cooper Kupp and some of the other offensive players and kind of took the game by its throat because, defense hasn't been great this year. I mean, last year's defense was much better. But getting back to my point, you need smart leadership and personnel folks to make the appropriate decisions to carry your team forward. And in McSnead, I trust. They seem to always be looking to upgrade positions. And I think I sent Dean a tweet earlier this week about Van Jefferson. You know, Reynolds was a nice player. A lot of fans liked him. But, Van Jefferson's a better player, and they upgraded the position. They're always looking to upgrade. I mean, if one thing I've seen here now for the last 4.5 years is they never stop trying to upgrade the position. Right. And that probably leads you into Kenny Young and what they were doing this week with him.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk obviously a little bit about Kenny Young, but I think just in terms of what you've seen with McSneed, we talk about the 2009, 10, 11, 12 team. There was so much turnover in that period of time, right? You talked about Pat Shurmur. He was the Eagles quarterbacks coach, probably when you saw him in ShopRite. And then he was the St. Louis Rams offensive coordinator. And then he was the head coach for the Cleveland Browns, right? And the Rams' idea of upgrading at receiver or upgrading at, you know, as a weapon was going from Danny Amendola to Tavon Austin at that time. Right, and that was in the first year of Mick Snead. I'm sorry, it wasn't Mick Snead. It was Snead and Fisher. So
yeah, I was going to say that was Fisher.
So no, Fisher, whatever.
Yeah.
But like you said, there was so much turnover at that time. And there wasn't – I didn't feel like there was a need to consistently upgrade the position. Right now, I feel like we'll talk about Tutu Atwell for a second because I think it kind of relates to what Danny Amendola did back in 2010. When he led the league in all-purpose yards, he was a great returner. He was a great kick returner. He was a solid punt returner. He averaged 11.5 yards per return, which would, in today's NFL, rank fourth overall. Tavon Austin is towards the very bottom of the list, averaging 7 yards per return. So that's a position where you're going to consistently upgrade. You heard what McVay had to say about Tutu Atwell, how he hasn't – the progression that he's made, he would like for him to pick it up a little bit quicker. So I don't know. I think that's a position where – it kind of feels like a little bit of a champagne problem where we missed on a position. It's somebody that can help from a minimal perspective on special teams, but he hasn't quite done it yet. So what is your guys' perspective on special teams in general?
Here's what you want to do. You want to reach in and you want to take Amendola's heart and you want to stick it in Atwell's body because you need that kind of heart and toughness and mentality to be successful in this league. And that Amendola always had it. He always had the desire, passion. He'd make any play. He was gritty, you know, for a little guy, tough over the middle. And he gave you 110% every game, you know, and you can never have enough guys like that. Cooper Kupp is Danny Amendola, but taller, faster, stronger. He's got the complete package, right? So, you know, it's good to see it, you know, it's good to see players like that on your squad, like Aaron Donald. You know, he's got everything. He's probably quite possibly the greatest player we've ever seen as Rams fans or as football fans. He brings it every single day. I mean, Robert Woods is tough as nails as a wide receiver, a little bit smaller than Kupp, you know. But getting back to Amendola and, you know, Tutu Atwell, yeah, I mean, dude, it's your time, man. You know, that this is when the Rams like to feather in their rookies. And you can see at the linebacker position. You've seen it last couple of years with cornerbacks and safeties. It's your time, you know, get the ball and go.
Especially like offensive rookies, they like to put them in like red zone opportunities, get them that scoring opportunity so they can like, you know, get a little confidence. And then what McVay said about Tutu kind of mimics exactly what all of us have been saying, which is strange when you hear a coach say something very similar to what us annoying fans will say, where his quote exactly was, "Tutu's a young player. He's got a lot of room to develop and grow, and I'd like to see him have a little bit more increased sense of urgency. There's a lot of guys that are in front of him that I think are great veteran examples." And, I mean, that's just straight up saying, like, you're underperforming and you need to step up. And like, no one wants to see Cooper Kupp back there returning a punt and then getting injured on a punt return. That's just like
Jackson. What the hell is he doing back there, Liz?
No, he should never be back there.
I want to see Tutu. I mean, in a game like tomorrow where you're going to – I mean, well, tomorrow. Game like Sunday where you're hopefully up big time. I want to see Tutu every single punt I want to see him get. I need to see him get the reps, and I need to see him play better. Because right now, he's speaking of Tavon Austin, he's kind of reminding me a lot of Tavon Austin.
Well, I mean, at least Tavon had a good rookie year, but this, like that kid for the Lions, the smaller, undersized receiver, dude had some wheels, man, and they were
Swift.
To sit him underneath. No, not Swift, not the running back. There was a wide receiver. I forget the kid's name. He made a couple diving catches. He brought it. You know, you want that kind of effort, man. Like, you know, don't leave anything on the field, man. This is your time.
And like every time he gets hit, I swear to God, the ball like flies.
I know.
Scary.
Yeah, there's an uncertainty with him. But like you said, Nick, you want to give him all the reps that you possibly can right now. I think a couple – we even said 3-4 weeks back, like this is the stretch of games where you can give guys that you're not totally comfortable with in a specific position, as many reps as possible to get them comfortable enough to speed with the situation that they're currently in. It's funny with Cooper Kupp, you compared him to Amendola, Dad, for a second there. He's too talented. He's actually too gifted to be back there returning punts and returning kicks. You can't jeopardize, especially a player that has a little bit of an injury history. You can't necessarily jeopardize that.
And think of the guys that are on special teams, Dean. These guys are like bottom of the roster guys going down, gunners, you know, and they're not – you don't care if he hits them in the knee.
No, I know.
Or in the ankle, or they're just trying to make plays, man. And you can't have, you know, you're one of your top three players standing back there as a target.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Right. Well, that's why I'm good with – I was good with like a Ben Skronik. You know, kind of getting him in the mix, you know, let him return a couple kicks, see if you could edge out 2-2. I also like the idea of, obviously, they moved on from Kenny Young, saved $1.5 million. They restructured Rob Havenstein. So roughly $4.5 million in cap space they have to play with right now. Do you bring in a returner? They brought in a kick returner last year, Raymond Kalea. Why not? You know?
Yeah. I mean, if you can get a proven guy, I don't know what the story is with the kid in Jacksonville that returned a couple. I don't know if he's a rookie or part of their long-term plans, but, you know, they're giving up a fifth rounder or sixth rounder for somebody that can help you within the next year or two. I mean, this team is a 2 or 3 year window right now that they have. And I know they see it, you know, they're, like I said, they're always trying to improve their roster, but you got to make the moves now, not to leave any stone unturned.
Right.
And so, you know, so I wouldn't be surprised if they make sort of a bottom of the roster switch to maybe pick up somebody that can be dependable back there.
Yeah. Well, Tavon Austin's probably available. He's still in Jacksonville if you want to pick him up.
Hell no. And you know what?
Make a move for Danny Amendola.
While you're on the whole special teams category, this special teams coach better get his act together, because we've seen some of our coaches not perform up to snuff, and they don't stick around that long either. I think the special teams coach in Dallas is a perfect example. Like, don't make mistakes on McVay's watch. You won't be around long.
Yeah, and it's not even like it's a lack of preparation. I felt like what I saw in special teams when we were at that game, Nick. That ball bounced right off Troy Reader's hand. Like, they had no idea that there was an onside kick.
I've never seen an onside kick in the first quarter ever. Like, you can't put that blame on the players or the coach. That is a ballsy move.
Was it a Super Bowl that they started the game with an onside kick, or was it a half?
That was the second half. That was Sean Payton second half story.
Yeah, Sean Payton bullshit.
Against Peyton Manning. You didn't want him to get the ball back.
Yeah. No.
It worked.
Yeah. It's
But the second punt, hey, you know what? The punt, the first fake punt, okay. You caught us again. But it should never happen a second time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's where, you know, like I said, you can't make mistakes like that on McVay's watch, or you won't be around long.
Right. It's frustrating that we used to have that aspect of our team down pat. That special teams used to be, you know, in the days where, you know, Robert Quinn and Alec Ogletree and you know, all those players were still around. You had some type of game plan in that area. Like, for whatever reason, they probably spent 60, 65, 70% of time on special teams back in those days when they were just trying to beat Seattle. But just a little bit more attention to detail, a little bit better preparation. I expect to see a punt return one of these years. I feel like I haven't seen one in 3-4 years. Am I going crazy? I don't remember the last time I've seen one. So special teams is an area, again, a little bit of a champagne problem. But you want to see them perform in this game. You want to see the offense perform. The defense will get theirs. But really, there's not all that much to pull from this game, right?
I think the last Rams punt return was 2016 against the Jags. You can look that up. I think that's correct.
Was that a game in London?
Yep.
And who was it? Was it Farrell Cooper? He was an all-pro returner.
That's who it was.
He was great at punt returns, great at kick returns, but you put him in the playoffs and he crushed us.
He's actually a guy that's been working around the league. People have been working him out. So I don't know if he's a guy. No. He'll never come back. For Rams fans, if you're out there and you're scouting potential kick returners, punt returners, send them our way. Would love to investigate with you as well, because that I feel like that's a potential area where they're gonna add some effort.
One other note.
He's holding his finger up.
They're going to give you the ball at the 25-yard line. You don't have to take it out. Just stick your arms up. Get the ball to 25. We don't have a guy that's going to pull the ball, like take the ball beyond the 25. They should realize that now. Just take it out to 25. And our kicker, we don't have great special teams. We try to kick it off to the 1 yard line so they return it. And they're returning it 20, 27, 28, 29 yard line every time. Kick it through the end zone, Gay. Kick it through the end zone. Let's take these wacky sort of elements out of the game and make it – the math is in your favor. You know, take advantage of it.
Very, very simplified.
Yes.
Is how it should be. Can't overcomplicate special teams.
My whole life I have seen my dad yell at the TV when one of our guys takes it out. He's like, just knee it. Just knee the ball.
Well, now since they changed the rule and put it on the 25-yard line, I mean, that's a no-brainer. We don't have anyone that's going to return it any further than the 25-yard line. And the odds are we're going to have a block in the back, and they're going to push it back to, like, the 12. And that happened last week. So take the ball to 25. It's there for you. Don't make the dumb play.
I totally agree. We've been begging for that for how many years? But – again, it's not the worst problem to have. You have a couple of weeks where you can iron it out. You fix it this week, you have a good feeling going into Tennessee, into San Francisco. You feel good about your squad. Yeah. Knicks picks?
Yeah, I think we're ready.
You ready for Knicks picks?
Yeah. Dad, you have to stick around. You have no choice.
Let's do it.
All right. How we doing? Friends and family, Deans and Dads, Pearls and Swines, Marios and Luigis. Yes, we are coming off another winning week of Knicks picks. Up so many units, I don't even know how to count anymore. I lost the ability to count. We only have had two losing weeks this whole year, which is hard to believe. Every other week, we've gained a profit. Pretty spectacular. Dean, before we get going, do we have any locks of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to go Lions to get their first win over the Eagles.
Nice. I like that,
too. In Detroit. Yeah, why not?
I love that. Remember to place all your bets at mybookie.ag.com. Use promo code LAFB. I'm going to be absolutely frank with both of you. I'm taking underdogs this week because I've had a particularly great week this past week. And personally, I feel like an underdog. And I like to throw a little personal mojo into my sports betting like every other degenerate. And ever since we had a great week of Luigi's football, underdogs, let's just start with the most Luigiest of them all. Like Dean said, Jared Goff's Lions. So we got Eagles at Lions. Lions are the best 0-7 team I think I've ever seen. They hang around just about every game they play. You have to really strangle them to death, like Tony Soprano did to that rat in season one of Sopranos when he visited that college with Meadow. The Lions have pieces of a strong team. Swift is a talent. Brockers is a talent. And then everybody knows how I feel about Goff. Hockenson is also playing this week, which is huge for them. As long as their defense doesn't give up 25 points, I like them to win this game outright. Eagles are in shambles. Their coach is talking about Flowers and Archinines, and I don't know what's going on there. Yeah. Sirianni is not really doing a good job motivating his guys. And they are in the Deshaun Watson trade talks, which – just can't be good for Hurts' confidence. I like this Lions team that too hungry to get their first win of the season at home. 21-23, Lions eke out their first win on Halloween weekend.
Gross.
You like that?
I guess it's going to be an ugly game.
Yeah. I mean,
we have any opinions from the man in the middle here?
I'm just looking over the slate of games this week, and I think for all those – Los Angelosians. How do you say it, Nick?
Los Angians.
whatever. For all you LA fans, I like the Chargers -4 this week. I think
Play? The Patriots.
They're playing the Patriots. I'm not a big Mac Jones fan. I know he's accurate, but he's not dynamic, and that team's really not that good. So I really like the Chargers in that game. Gosh, how the mighty have fallen. The Seahawks are giving 3.5 to the lowly Jaguars.
That's terrible.
They have really hit the rock bottom. There was another game I saw here that I liked.
Nick, don't you like Colts? Steelers? How about Steelers Browns, Nick? I thought you liked that one.
I don't like that game.
Well, Steelers Browns, Dad. While you figure out what that game is, I'm going to go into my next pick. It is Steelers at Browns. I like the Steelers. I may be the only one who still feels that way, but I get it. Ben is old. Their weapons are young, and they're playing away. But throughout my entire life, the Steelers have owned the Browns. Tomlin isn't going to be last in their division when you throw out a Case Keenum Browns team with a third-string running back. Steelers own the Browns, and Big Ben is going to look like his old self. Recently quoted saying that playing in Cleveland feels like playing at home. We love that. 17-20 Steelers win. Also, I'm going to take the under, which is the lowest of the week at 42.5. But I just think that line is low enough for a reason. I think Vegas knows fools are going to see how low it is and think that the over is a lock. But neither of these Browns put up like 17 last week and won. The Steelers are unanimous for having an amazing defense and not winning and can only win games one way. So let's run with the lower in that game, the under. So I got Steelers and the under.
Yeah, the other game I think I did like was the Saints getting 4.5 against Tampa Bay. They'll have Mark Ingram back. They're coming off a good week. Tampa Bay's been good, but they've been tight in some games. Sean Payton usually plays them tough. I could see that game being a little closer.
Revenge game, too.
Yeah, and you're getting a point. So, and they're at home. I think this is like their second home game with everything that happened the first
one. Oh, right. That's true.
And they lost their first one. So,
yeah, I think that should be a really interesting game where you get them all fired up. They came off the big win in Seattle. So they have a little confidence. I could see that being close. I don't know. Tom Terrific will probably pull it out, but hey, you're getting the points. And
yeah, four is a nice number.
4.5. Yep. So, they would be my two picks. But, I'll tell you, with all these algorithms and sports sites, obviously mybookie.net or what is it, Nick?
.ag.
Oh, well, that site and all the others. These point spreads, I've never seen them so large. 14.5, 18.5. It seems like this league is a league of haves and have-nots. And, we're fortunate. We're definitely a have. Honestly, that's why I wanted the Rams to move from St. Louis to L.A. because I knew once they got established in that market, they got the right personnel. They had an opportunity to really do something special and become one of the haves. We spent, 14, 15 years in St. Louis where they were have not after the greatest show on turf. So, I think that's going to be sort of the new norm. These guys, like the NBA, they're going to be creating super teams.
Especially with like players now being a little more in control of their own destiny in the
was it 2007 to 2012 was the 5 years we had the worst record in the history of the NFL over that span.
I think it was 10 straight years of the worst record.
Just absolute dreck.
All right, we got one more pick of mine. Well, two more technically, but it's really quick. Titans at Colts. The Titans are underdogs, and say less. The Titans are simply the better team. Good for Wentz and the Colts for beating the Niners in a rain game, but I don't know. What do the Colts really do well? Their run defense is ranked pretty low. I have no doubt Derrick Henry runs through this scary defense and destroys this team. Tannehill hasn't really been buzzing this year. He hasn't been really playing great, but he's been playing good enough. And even though they have some like razzle dazzle, Julio Jones is out. I don't think Henry alone is too good to take down this Colts team. Nothing about them scares me. And plus, I want to see the Titans win three tough games in a row right before playing us, so they're completely gassed out. So I'm going to bet with my heart here a little bit and take 41-20. Titans blow out the Colts. And then my quick pick of the week, I'm taking Rams need a big blowout. I'm taking Rams minus 15. So run it back. We got Lions money line, Steelers money line, under 42.5 in Steelers Browns, Titans money line, and Rams minus 15. And then my dad's picks are what? Saints plus 4. And what was the other one?
I forget.
Chargers minus 4.
I'm not looking at the app right now.
Yeah, it was Chargers minus 4 and Saints plus 4 if you want to.
So Rams in. Rams were 14.5 point favorites last week against the Lions. We remember talking to ourselves, oh man, love to see the Lions cover that game. That'd be a good bet. And then you fast forward to this week, this actually feels like it's justified, 15 points. I think they'll cover that spread. I said on the last episode, I think they'll cover the spread against the Lions. Started to think about it a little bit. Lions covered the spread. This week, I think it's an outright cover. So we shall see. What else you guys got? Anything else before we sign off?
Well, I would just sort of close with, we're almost at the halfway point of the season. And, you know, I was thinking, is this team better than last year's team? And I don't have the answer yet. The way I see it is, you know, we lost some defensive pieces that, you know, are first the coach. We lost our starting free safety. And, you know, we've been losing. We lost another piece. I can't think of who it was. But, you know, that the defense is not as good as it was last year. And we're getting to the quarterback, but we're not causing these big turnover. We're getting turnovers, but not in bunches like we did last year. And certainly it's showing itself in the statistics, you know, for run and pass defense. But then you counterbalance that with what we're seeing on the offensive side of the ball with Stafford. I mean, it's the guy's release is incredible. His composure, his leadership skills. You know, he's a thinking man's quarterback. He's really matured since I've seen him play. So, I mean, he's everything that we could ask for. But we don't have Cam Akers, right? I mean, Henderson's doing a good job, and Sony Michel's giving him a breather now and then. But it's just, you know, that Cam Akers is a dynamic. I thought the guy could have been Offensive Player of the Year this year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's how special I think he is as a player. So I don't know. I don't know if they're better yet. I can't really tell. But, you know, we're going to see that in the second half of the season. And that's what, you know, as fans, we just want to see him get a little better every week and continue to grow and peak at the right time. Last year's team peaked at the right time. Unfortunately, fat ass Russell Wilson cracked Aaron Donald's rib, and he wasn't the same player when he went off to Green Bay. You know, and that hurt because I think we could have won that game even the way Goff was playing that towards the end of the season. I know he had the busted finger in the playoffs the week before. I mean, I thought he was good enough to kind of take us to the Super Bowl if we were able to, you know, obviously play at the level of defense we were all season at the very end with before Donald got hurt.
Mm-hmm. What else are you expecting to see out of the offense? Anything from the tight end position? We've seen Tyler Higbee as the primary pass catcher, primary blocker. He's a trusted member of that offensive line. Obviously, he's been around for a long time. Do you think they're going to do anything to replace Johnny Munt? Do you feel like they have potential to bring in, another pass-blocking tight end, another run-blocking tight end that can fill that void?
Everyone was excited about the Central Florida kid coming and getting some minutes, especially in the preseason. He hasn't even been on the field, has he?
I know, no, he hasn't. He's gotten a couple snaps. I think he has a drop in the red zone.
I think, honestly, if you're going to run the ball, put another tackle out there. Put Note Boom out there and just try to grind it rather than try to have a blocking tight end. I mean, how many balls did Munt catch all year? Six last year? Seven? I mean,
No. He's not a pass catcher whatsoever. No, but my only thing is you have Bryson Hopkins as another guy, that third round pick. I don't know, where did he go to school? Purdue. I feel like some school that has a similar color scheme to Purdue. That's in my head.
Baylor? Was it Baylor?
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was Baylor.
All
right. I don't know. But then you have Jacob Harris, and then you have a vacancy. Jacob Harris, though, receiver, seventh-round pick, receiver converted tight end. I want to see him get some snaps. He's a guy, if you run any 12 personnel, I know they've been doing it less this year compared to last year, but if you want to get him on the mix, I'll let him see what he can do in the blocking game, or, you know, switch up Higbee's role just to get a little bit more creative. So I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens in this game. But, again, these last 3 weeks have been great opportunities to test stuff out. And like to your point, Dad, have we gotten all the answers that we want? Is there a formal conclusion that this team is better than last year? I think Nick would argue against that too.
Yeah, no, I think last year's team is still better. Just overall, I think some positions have obviously upgraded, but they were
But what the difference though, Nick, is the quarterback elevates everything. So if your quarterback goes from,
well, not the defense.
Well, he can make up for some mistakes on defense. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you can score 40 points a game, not many teams can keep up with you in this league with an average defense. And it's interesting how the team sort of you know, last year was a little bit more defensive heavy because of a quarterback play, but now this year you're more offensive heavy because of the way the defense is performing.
It's always how it goes.
You also have to think too, because the offense is on the field less, because there are more explosive plays, more 2.5 minute drives, the defense is spending more time on the field too, right? Mm-hmm. Compared to last year where Goff would put together 9.5, 10, 11 minute drives, 15 play drives that have to be picture perfect, can't make a mistake. And then, you know, your defense gets to ball out a little bit, right? So completely different dynamic as to where if a quarterback can exploit the field, exploit a deep threat, it puts your defense in a much different spot. So I think you're seeing some of the ramifications of that this year.
Indeed. Indeed. It's fun. Every season has a life of its own.
Yeah, it does.
So we're going to see how the next 10 weeks?
Yeah. I don't know what it was. It was this Houston Texans team just going back and looking through the roster just reminded me of, you know, the O.J. Atagwe days and Chris Long and Barry Bajima, Badger Milk. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these guys from 2010, 2011, 2013 that just never made it, right, where you're still looking for foundational core pieces to your team, right, where you panic, you move up and you draft a Tavon Austin the first year, Fisher and Les Snead, right? All these different dynamics is the same exact situation that the Houston Texans are in right now. Right, where you're going to make all of these pieces expendable. Jonathan Grenard, their edge rusher, who's probably going to be rushing on the weak side on Sunday, is their only piece that they're going to keep. Everybody else on that team's expendable. And it just reminds me of that team before Sam Bradford came around, before Spags came in, and they won, 7-8-1 that year and lost to Charlie Whitehurst.
It was a tough game in Seattle.
Bradford's rookie year.
Yeah, he couldn't do anything in that game.
Yeah, I wonder if when you saw Pat Shurmur, when you said he's a shitty offensive coordinator, if he would have said, well, Bradford set a completion record. He broke Peyton Manning's record and did this. Like you said, he was so not creative. And I think I'm just thankful for what I see right now with this team, the creativity on offense.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Signing off. Any final words, Nick, Dad?
Go Rams.
Let's get a W. 7-1 on our way.
So let's have an armchair game. I think we need a nice relaxing week. Last week was too freaking stressful.
Never stressed in that game. I mean, maybe it was because I was excited.
For the Lions.
I wasn't cheering for them. I was rooting for Goff.
See last year's game when we played the Jets? I mean, you know, I don't want to lose 2 years in a row to a team that hasn't won in my stadium.
Were never going to lose that game.
I mean, you know, if Ramsey doesn't make that pick at the end of the game, it's a little bit tighter.
Yeah, it was 25-19 at that point.
I'm not
going to throw a touchdown if Donald doesn't hit him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, if that was last year's team and it was Goff, we would have lost. I'm telling you,
It had that feeling.
And I
agree with you.
I want it to be like the Giants game because the next 2 weeks are going to be stressful as hell until the bye. So let's. Let's relax. Let's have a beer at the third quarter and call it a day.
Third quarter? I'm going first quarter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the relaxation beer.
I know. I'm just kidding. Rams fans get all freaked out if you start drinking too early. You got to kind of let it ease in a little bit before you start panicking in games. Unless you're Nick.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the Northeast here, we got these knucklehead Eagles fans that start drinking at 4 a.m. on their way to the tailgate.
So. Yeah, there's not as much to do here on the Northeast either. Sometimes you just got to sit there and drink and enjoy the day.
Yep. All right. Well, Nicky looks like he's starting to yawn.
All right, guys. 4:15 for work today. So.
Yeah, take it easy. Go sleep, you two old heads. And talk to you guys, on Monday, Tuesday?
Yep. I'll see you then.
Sounds good. Peace. Bye. Go Rams.